have your Bibles this morning. I was thinking about the fact that God never changes. That is a great joy in these troublesome times. I mean, we don't even know sometimes if we can go to the Walmart and go to the store without. I was just there yesterday getting some items, and a few weeks back, you couldn't use the doors. In other words, there's only one door, and it had a long hallway. How many of you watch that? And they put all kinds of stuff up and tape, and you had to walk all the way around there. And then a lady, you walked through, and you couldn't get out the other door. So Walmart's a football field and a half long, and if you parked on that way, you walked a half a mile just to get in and out. And so, you know, you never knew how you got in. You never knew. And then how many of you have gone to a store, forgot to get your mask, had to go back and get it? Anybody done that? Okay. So, you know, I park all the way over here, and I go over here, and I say, oh, and I've got to run in to get that. I'm running there, get that, and I run up there. And the lady comes and says, and I see a sign, she says, you must have a mask. I went, turn around, go back, walk all the way back across the store, go get my mask, come back again. And, you know, it's just so much turmoil, change. And then I started parking over there. But if I got something on the other side of the store, now you got to walk in here, go on this side of the store, walk all the way to that side of the store, get it, come back, and then they shut all the registers on one side. How many of you saw that? All the registers weren't open. It's only on one side. And so if you had to go to that, it was just constant change. I am glad that when I get up in the morning, I know that the Lord is there for me. I am glad when I get up in the morning, there are some things that will never change. And I got to thinking, what are a few things that never change? Because God is behind them. Well, number one, the definition of sin never changes. I am glad that I don't have to worry about, is this right today or wrong tomorrow? With all this COVID-19 stuff, you know, when it first started, we didn't know if we could have 50 people, 10 people, 250 people. You almost need to be an attorney to figure out this this phasing, because you can open up now. You can have 50% of occupancy, but you got a social distance. Okay, well, that 50% now goes down to 20%. And then you can have everybody that you want to, but you got to all wear a mask. And then you got to, and so it just seems to keep filtering down. And so you got the lawyer's mindset. If this is this and this is this, this is this, and this is what you can do. It's not just easy. I love it that when I get up in the morning, the same thing that was wrong yesterday is wrong today. And the same thing that hurts God's heart yesterday does today. If you have your Bible, turn me up to Romans chapter number 1. I want you to see this. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to look at just a couple of verses here in the book of Romans. Primarily, we'll be in Romans this morning. But you'll notice Romans chapter, I said Romans 1. We're going to Romans 3. We'll get back to Romans 1. Notice, if you would, Romans 3 in verse number 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith them who are under the law, which is everyone, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So the law was written that everybody becomes guilty before God. Now watch this. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law, here it is the knowledge of sin. So by God's word, we have the knowledge of sin. We can learn what the definition of sin is because of God's word. The definition of sin is not according, doesn't change by popular vote. The definition of sin does not change by localities. The definition of sin does not change by where you live and the day of the week that it is. The definition of sin is always the same. And notice, if you would take your Bible now, turn it back to Romans chapter 1. And notice, if you would, with me, Romans chapter 1. But notice, if you would, he says, the law gives the knowledge of sin, the understanding of what sin is. Now, before we read Romans 1, a portion of it, I want you to take note of this. Sin that by definition always relates to the Lord. When you break a law in society, like for instance, let's say you're driving and how many have ever seen you're driving on the road and there is a turn lane on the right or the left, and there's a white line that sort of goes out, and you can turn there, but you'll notice that the line is stacked up. So you get on the side, you get on the side of the road and you go out a little bit early before you get on the line. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You get a little bit early and you get on that, that turn because the turn lane's empty. And so you're stacked up waiting for the light to change, but the turn lane's empty, either the left or the right. So you pull over and, you get on the side of the road a little bit, maybe a car length or two, and then you're in the turn lane. Did you know that if you cross that white line, it's illegal? You just broke the law. How many of you did not know that? See your hand. Okay? See, people didn't know that. I did it once and got pulled over. I got a ticket for crossing the white line. And I didn't realize that. I mean, if I would have sat down and thought about it, probably the white line's there for a reason. I would have thought about it. But there's no excuse for not knowing the law. But I broke the law, but not necessarily was that sin. Except God says obey the laws of the land, so that makes it sin. So keep in mind, you can break a law, but when God says don't do something, that's sinful. Now, you have to register your car. Okay, because you're supposed to register your car, or because you're supposed to have license plates if you don't do that, because the Lord put an overarching policy, obey the laws of land in Romans chapter 13, then we become sinners because we don't do the things the law says. However, if you take away God, we only break the law. We don't sin. But when you add the Lord into the picture, the definition of sin is because God said it. So the knowledge of the law is from what God said. So you and I don't have the right to say, well, that's a lie and that's not a lie. A lie is a lie because God said anything that's not truth is lie. And so you and I cannot covet somebody else what they have. You can't covet somebody else's husband or somebody else's wife. The Lord said that's wrong. So the knowledge of sin comes from God's word. That never changes. And in Exodus chapter 20, the definition of sin didn't change at all. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, his wife, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that he's got. That's covetousness. Thou shalt not do that. So it's never changed. Now notice, if you would, in verse number, this is Romans 1. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. Notice, if you would, verse 27. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseen. But there's homosexualism. You'll notice, if you would, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. Notice, if you would, in verse number 29, the longest list of sins that offend God, deeds that hurt the heart of God, that disobey the Lord. Notice verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, we gossip with people, backbiters, talk bad about people on purpose, haters of God, despiteful, proud. We know that pride is wrong because right there God said pride is sinful. Disobedient to parents. That's why we know that the children know disobeying their parents any form, any time, any place is a sin. Because God said not to do it. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. That's the reason we know you're supposed to have a high credit rating if you borrow money. You're always supposed to pay it back. Why? Because you don't want to be a covenant breaker. You sign on the dotted line. You don't want to be a covenant breaker. Notice, without natural affection. Implacable. Hard to work with. Notice in verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that God says there's a price for these things. Notice, if you would, that they commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. Not only do we have we taken things that don't change, but we've just said, I don't care about it anymore. I'm going to do what I want to do. So because Jesus Christ said, I am always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And because he said in Malachi chapter 3, I change not. I am God. You will always know that immorality of any sort is wrong. You'll always know that whenever you get married, that it's for life is always right. And so it gives me a lot of comfort to be able to say, this is right and this is wrong. I didn't write it. I'm just repeating what the knowledge of sin is. And you and I have to learn to look at it and say, am I going to accept that or am I not? This is the definition of sin, and it will never change. So that's why you and I cannot do certain laws of our country. Because they said, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. If it conflicts the knowledge of sin, we can't do it. And so you and I look at it and say, okay, well, who am I going to obey? The state or my Lord? Now, I'm thankful that the state doesn't say you have to think dirty, but have to disobey that. But the knowledge of sin is very clearly written. It will not change. Now, notice if you would, the second thing that doesn't change, not only the definition of sin doesn't change, it will never be right to lie to your parents. It'll never be right to lie to your mate. It will never, ever be right. It'll not be right to skip church. Now, understand the definition of skip. Put something else in its place. Because the Lord says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. There's a knowledge of sin. So a lot of Christians say, well, you know, I'm going to skip church. Well, you can define it however you want. But the Lord said, since you have the knowledge of sin, it's up to you to do the right thing. Now, notice we all have a copy of the scriptures, and so we're responsible. When I pulled off on the right-hand side of the road and crossed that little white line, I didn't think anything about it. When the guy pulled me over, I said, yes, sir. He said, you know what you did wrong? I said, no, sir. Now, how many of you took the driving test a long time ago? Okay? There are some things that you know. There are some things just make sense. And yet there are some things that change a little bit every once in a while. The weight of the vehicle you can drive with certain types of license. Technical things. If you try to get a CDL today, it is almost like getting a PhD in bus mechanics. I mean, it is unbelievable what you have to know. Where the water pump is, I don't know why, because you're not going to fix it when you break down. But I guess maybe you pick up the phone and say, I need a new water pump. I don't know what they expect. But the bottom line is you have to know where every part on the bus is nearly. So bottom line is when you get all this taken care of, the licenses have changed. Now, some of the laws have changed. Yet when you begin to think about it, what is the definition of sin? It's always the same. You can teach your children that which is right and say, thus saith the Lord, this is right. And folks, there's a level of comfort in that. Because I always know what's right. I mean, it's never going to change. What a blessing to have an anchor in my life. When I buy a piece of property, I go around and they bring out a GPS monitor of some sort, and they've got a stake and it's got a metal pin, and they're going around there looking for that metal stake. They take a metal detector. There it is. They dig it up, and there's a metal pin about that deep at the corner of my property on every corner. And so I try to stake them so I can keep up with them. Thereby, if I put in a fence, I don't have to pay $600-$800 to have them come out and find those pins again. But I am very thankful that those pins don't move. So I don't put my fence up one day and the next day come back and my fence is on somebody else's property. I am grateful for that. I read about one guy that put his tennis court 2 foot on the other guy's property in Japan, Tokyo, Japan. It cost him $1.5 million if you take the 2 foot for the length of his property. Didn't realize it. Didn't understand it. But the bottom line is, it was 2 feet. This doesn't change 2 feet or 2 inches or 2 centimeters. It doesn't change at all. The great privilege we have is to always know the definition of sin. It doesn't change. So it gives you a level of comfort to teach your children. And number two, the definition of sin doesn't change, and the destruction that sin causes doesn't change. Do you realize what the destruction of sin is? It's hell. That doesn't change. It'll forever be there. There will always be the penalty. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That does not change. Because that doesn't change, folks, you and I look at it and say, wow, I got to be careful of this. God said the definition of sin is there, but the destruction the sin causes and the payment of sin is always the same. Notice it with me, if you would, in Romans chapter 1, look in verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, the fact that God takes what we've done, applies it to the law of sin, and says you didn't do the right thing, and says that they only not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. So he says, look, they're playing with fire. How many have ever lit a bonfire? You get a big bonfire up there, and you pile up a bunch of old brush and lumber. And, then you want to get a charcoal lighter fluid. If you want to burn the pile, you put charcoal lighter fluid on it. Now, I have seen some people that said, well, charcoal lighter fluid, gas, doesn't matter. And so they go over there and they pour gasoline all over it and soak it real good. Now, understand, there's a difference. There's a big difference. But if you don't have the knowledge of the difference, the penalty is the same. You throw that match on a pile of wood that's got charcoal lighter fluid on it, and it may or may not start. When it starts, it has a slow burn, and it starts burning up. And if it gets soaked real good, it'll start a fire. Pretty soon it'll all catch on fire and it'll be gone. But if you take that match and throw it on a pile of wood that's got gasoline on it, you walk up to the same distance that you would with that charcoal lighter fluid and drop that match in there, it's going to go, and you're going to turn and look back in the mirror and all your hair is going to be gone. And you're going to say, I didn't know that. The destruction that sin causes doesn't change. It's because you and I don't believe it or not aware of it. It doesn't change. The penalty for sin is always hell. And folks, that's why we have to live right, to represent Christ well. That's why we have to pray for sinners that are not saved. That's why you've got to have a burden for sinners. That's why we have missions, to send missionaries around the world to tell people that have never heard, or to tell people that are going on in their life and they don't have churches around. Folks, that's the reason you care, because the destruction that sin causes never changes. It's the rule of God that it's there. It's the price of sin. And you'll notice, if you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to Romans chapter number 6. Look, if you would. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Notice, if you would, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. What does that mean? When you go to work in the morning, you expect to receive a payment for it, because you put in the time and the effort, so you expect a payment back. Well, God uses those terms and says, look, there's a wage that sin pays. And the wage that sin pays, the payment that sin pays you back, is, yeah, a little bit of pleasure, but it's always death. That is why probably my least favorite thing in the whole world to do is a funeral. But it's always going to happen. Everybody in this room is going to die unless Jesus comes to get us. Why? Because the destruction the sin causes is always the same. Now, you'll notice, if you would, in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but death is two parts. It's physical death, that all of us die as you get older. How many of you noticed that as you get older, your body is not the same, doesn't have the same oomph, doesn't have the same strength? And I'll tell you what I noticed. I was on vacation. And growing up, my dad had a, a speedboat, and my dad had money, and so we had a big speedboat with a 23 V8 Chevy engine in it. So whenever you would crank it up, it would get it. Well, we learned to water ski. And I love to slalom water ski. You know, you get your ski in there, and we get a deep keel on it, and so you could really dig in the water, and you'd jerk real quick and throw water up in the air, and then you'd come out on the other side, and you'd hit the wake of the water, and you'd jump up in the air, and you'd go across to see how far you could go to the other side, turn around, come back and do it again. Man, it was so much fun. And then I remember there was a young man that my father hired that had run away from home. My dad gave him a job, and all kinds of things was good to him. Bought him a car, and he lived in my bedroom. And he gotten saved, and he was growing in the Lord. And so he challenged me one day and says, "We're gonna water ski." And he said, "We're gonna see who can get close to the beach the closest." And I said, "Oh, okay." And he's got two skis, and I got one. Well, that ain't no gamble, because on two skis, you go at 40 miles an hour on the end of that whip, and you're going toward the water. You better let go pretty soon, because you have no way to stop. I just go back like this, and I got a break. He has no break. Well, he's 18, and I'm 15, and so he's going to show me. And so I'm kind of snickering in my heart, saying, "Oh, this is going to be fun." So all of a sudden, we go around, and man, we're flying around 40, 50 miles an hour, and then let go. And so I let go of the rope, and I'm flying toward the beach. And then all of a sudden, I get right next to the beach, and I just sit down, and I'm about ankle deep of water. And I turn and look back, and he just let go of the rope. So all of a sudden, I see him. I said, "Oh, no. Oh, no." And there he goes, whew, and he let go of the rope. He hit the beach, started rolling, mud flying everywhere, skis going every place. I'm laughing. I'm praying he's not got a broken neck. But I saw him go up. Cows are running away when they see him. It's like this thing went up. I was laughing. I had such a good time laughing about that, watching that. I did have a little bit of evil heart, I have to admit, okay? I watched and had a good time with it. But I looked at it and I said, speed without brakes always does the same thing. It's always going to be destruction. He didn't think about it. Didn't change the penalty. So he comes back to me. He's got mud everywhere. He's got these skis. He's walking like this. He says, "Why didn't you tell me?" I said, "You didn't ask." So I'm laughing, And so I remember thinking, that was not a very Christian thing to do. Anybody ever done something that's not Christian things to do? I said, I'm sorry. I should have told you. Well, the destruction for sin doesn't change. When somebody comes up to you and they mud all over them, "Why didn't you tell me?" What do you say? "Hey, I'm sorry." That's why we try to encourage everybody to come to church to gain the knowledge of sin, because the wages are always the same. Destruction doesn't change. And folks, as much as I want to change the destruction that sin causes in your life, as much as I want to change it where you don't have to pay the price for the sin that you commit, I cannot do it. I can only pray for you that God would forgive you and would somehow ease the penalty or give you strength during the penalty. But the wages of sin is always death, physically and in a place called hell. So we can try to tell people about hell and try to tell them that God loves them. We can do that. But I'm just trying to tell you, we can't change it. And folks, that's why we have a church. And that's why we have the compassionate heart. It's because we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's a reason. Because sin doesn't change. Its definition and its destruction doesn't change. I mean, you can tell people, look, if you do that, there's going to be a price to it. If I would have told that 18-year-old boy, "Look, if you let thou go of that rope after I do, you're going to end up in mud ball on the beach," he wouldn't have cared, because he was going to make sure he went by farther than me. It didn't register him. He didn't have a break. And so all I'm trying to say to you, if I'd have told him, it still wouldn't have mattered. I'm going to beat you. And so we look at it and say, I'm not going to, I don't care what the wages of sin are. I want to do it. The penalty doesn't change. The price doesn't change. The prodigal son, give me what I want. Got what he wanted. I'm going to spend it the way I want. The penalty is the same. If you don't let the discipline of God take a hold of your life and Him bless you, you can't keep what you have. Because God said, in one of the Old Testament prophets, He said, you put your money in a bag with holes in it. Who puts the holes in a pocket? God does. So you and I have to understand the penalty for sin is always the same. It doesn't change. And so we have to try to tell people that. Now, what you notice the third thing, the definition of sin doesn't change. The destruction of sin doesn't change. But the deliverance of sin doesn't change. Now we've tried to change that. We've tried to say, look, if you come and give money to the church, that'll help you get to heaven. That'll deliver you from your sin. Or if you get baptized, that'll deliver you from your sin. Or if you take the Lord's Supper, that'll deliver you from your sins. Or if you take last rites, that'll deliver you from your sins. The only problem is, if you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 3, and I want you to see this. I want you to see Romans chapter 3. If you would, look in verse number 24. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, the redemption. And this word redemption, it's a great word. It's about being bought out of the slave market. It is about being released from the debt that you owe. Now, in this day and age, everybody knew what a slave market was. If you hadn't paid your bills, you got sold as a slave until your debt was paid. If your parents were poor, maybe you grew up and somebody bought you because your parents wanted a little bit of money, so they had to sell you. And so as a result, you were a slave market. It was almost a death sentence. And sometimes a slave market was a death sentence, depending on what market you were in. And so the bottom line is Jesus Christ came along and paid your entire price and got you out of the slave market. And no one else can pay the price. Notice what He says. Being justified freely by His grace, His goodness, through the redemption, the buyout plan of Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be the payment or the propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness, not yours, not mine, for the remission of sins. Notice, if you would, in verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So you and I find out there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 4, if you would. Acts chapter 4. You might want to underline this verse. Acts chapter 4. The deliverance of sin never changed. The deliverance for sin never will change. Notice this. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one deliverance from the price and the penalty of sin, and it's Jesus Christ, and you and I can never change that. We can start churches. We can start all kinds of philosophies about getting your sin washed away or getting to heaven, but they're all false because the knowledge of salvation is in this book. And God says there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So there's only one way to heaven, is through Jesus Christ. He said that in so many passages of Scripture, and yet we still look at it and say, well, if I do good, if you go today and ask 10 people, 9 of them will say, well, if I do good enough, I'll get to heaven. It's a balance. It's not a balance. The deliverance for sin is in a name. It's in a person. It's Jesus Christ. And you have to decide if you want to accept it or not. Now, Salvation, pretty simple. Come to Jesus Christ, thief on the cross, woman at the well, Ethiopian eunuch, Philippian jailer. I mean, go down the list. They all got saved the same way. Lord, I'm sorry, it's me, a sinner. Would you forgive me? Yes, it's forgiven. I'll hear your prayer. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's always the same. It's always the same. And that's why you and I can take a track in our pocket and it'll never get outdated. If it's got the gospel on it, it's never outdated. Now, then the deliverance for sin. How is the deliverance from sin? From the power of sin. What is that? That never changes. If you have your Bible, notice 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to notice this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Very famous verse. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Everybody faces temptation. The desire to do sinful things. But notice, but God is faithful. That's the deliverance from the power of sin. God is faithful. In other words, the deliverance of sin from the power of sin will never change. It's always in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. Notice this. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. So the power to have victory over sin in your life is always in the Lord. He says, I will never let you be tempted above your ability to say no. But you have to rely upon Him. He says, God is faithful. So the deliverance from the power of sin is always in Jesus Christ. He says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So our job is to say, Lord, where's the escape hatch so I don't have to do this sin? Lord, where's the direction that you want me to go so I don't have to lie today? Where's the direction you want me to go so I don't have to covet today? Lord, where's the way you want me to go so I don't lose my temper today? There's always a way out. That will never change. Isn't that a comfort? To know that you never have to sin. It is that a choice that you and I make because we want what sin provides. Moses, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, he specifically says he chose not to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So you and I have to choose that same thing. But God says, I'll always make a way. I'll always make a way. I tell you, I am so excited to be a pastor and be able to tell everyone in this room, you don't have to fall into sin because your Heavenly Father is faithful and He promised to make a way where you could tell your parents the truth. Where you wouldn't have to cheat at school to make your grade. God said, I'll help you. You don't have to do that. You don't have to take money from work. You don't have to cheat at work. You don't have to do this or that. You can do the right thing because God is faithful. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I will not change. I'll always, always be faithful and I'll always provide you a way out. The question is today, will we look for it? Will we hunt for it with all of our hearts? Will we make up our mind to say, I'm going to find the door of escape that Jesus put for me? I remember I took a teenage group down to a college and they had a astronomy kind of building where inside they had all of the stars in it on the ceiling. And you sit down and lean your seat back and you can see the constellations. And everybody was there. And somebody had gotten in touch with me and said, you need to come outside. One of your kids is outside. And I was a youth pastor at the time. And so I had to get outside. And I remembered, and this room rotates. You know what I'm saying? You're looking up at the stars and it's rotating. You're seeing things and you're leaning back in your chair. And so they got me the message and said, you know, one of your teenagers outside needs to talk to you. I said, okay. But they didn't tell me where the door was. And so, you know, I thought, I got up, and I remembered coming in on my right-hand side, so I saw, I just go over there. And so I got up, and I couldn't see. It was total dark. And there wasn't enough light from the stars, from those fake stars, to be able to do it. So I get to the wall. I finally work my way and get to the wall, and I'm feeling around to the wall. I'm saying, where's the door? And everybody's laughing at me. You know, where's the door? Because all the workers, they knew right where it was. It was right there. But nobody told me, and I couldn't see it. That will never happen with you. And Jesus said, I am the way, and I will always make a way for you to escape. Will you choose it? And then the last thing I want you to notice, not only does the definition of sin not change, the destruction that sin causes doesn't change, and I'm grateful that deliverance for sin doesn't change. We can always tell the same thing, the same story, because it doesn't change. But the devotion of God toward you and I doesn't change. For God so loved the world, will never change. And folks, I think sometimes God gets a bad rap because, you know, we don't want to do what he wants. So we think he's a bad God. God is always good. He is always devoted to you and I. He always loves us. Parents, how many times have you, let me back up. Children, how many times have your parents taught you to do something or told you to do something and you felt like they were being unfair or mean to you? Don't raise your hand. Sometimes it's possible that could be true. Sometimes we correct our children so we're not embarrassed. We don't correct them for their good. Hebrews tells us that. But God never does that. His love causes him to always do what is best for us. He always wants to take care of us. He always loves us. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, God is love. He is the definition of love. He is the characteristic of love that all of us would aspire to be like, because his love caused him to give the greatest treasure he's got in heaven, his own son, to die for you and I. His love causes him to put us first. And he says, that will never change. I'll always love you. You know, one thing I knew about my mother. My mother's in heaven today. My mother had the greatest sense of love toward me of anybody I've ever known in my life. Like Susan, but a person that exhibited their love, a person that, I mean, sacrificial. Now, she didn't always walk around saying it. She told me she loved me a lot. But I remember her taking on 3 jobs to help me stay in school. I remember when I would come home, always my best meal was there. I remember one year I came home and my pastor came up to me and said, Dave, you know, mom's had a tough year. I said, really? He said, yeah. And I said, well, she would send me $5 every once in a while, told me to go out and enjoy myself. He said, did you know how she got the $5? I said, no. He said she didn't eat any meat the whole year. And she took that money and sent it to you. I said, oh. How do I pay her back for that? How do I tell her, thank you for such a sacrifice? All I can do is just say, Mom, I love you too. But I can try to please her. How do you tell Jesus Christ, thank you for his love to you? The love of God is simply explained by our obedience to him. Have your Bible turned. We'll close 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Now you'll notice How do we love God? We know He loves us. That will never change. The question is, will we love Him? Will we always love Him? Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous unto us. Nothing He ever asks us to do is a pain in the neck. We're always glad to do whatever He wants us to do. You want me to give an extra $20? Lord, I'll be glad to do that. You want me to do this? I'll be glad to do that. You want me to be a witness to that neighbor? I'll be glad to do that. Lord, you want me to pray for such and such? Lord, I'll be glad to do that. The love of God toward us never changes. Look, if you would, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Notice, if you would, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the payment or propitiation for our sins. God is love. He is the love for us. Look in verse 8. For he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That will never change. The heart of God is always loving toward us. That's why I said, for God so loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son. And God loves us. He's always looking at you and I, trying to bless us. I'm amazed that Psalm 139 said He sees us sit down and sees us stand up. He watches the thoughts afar off. He adores us. And for the life of me, I don't know why. Because the love of God is obedience with joy. I don't do that all the time. But I know this, His devotion to me will never change. And so today, I want you to know that we're going through these times and have to wear a mask and we have to come do this and do that. But I know one thing, oh, God loves me. I might break down and have to get a new tire, change the tire, but still God loves me. I may go to the hospital and they say, you got cancer. But I know one thing, God still loves me. Today, I want you to know one thing will never change. The love of God. The devotion of God toward you will never change. The question is, will your love for Him change? Will you obey Him today and not tomorrow? Folks, could I plead with you today? These four things will never change because Jesus Christ said, I'm the same today, tomorrow, and the next day. I'll never change. But God loves you. Don't forget that. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. How are you responding to the love of God? Are you loving Him back? We love Him because He first loved us, the Scripture says. That's why we love God, because He loved us first. Please, could I plead with you to love the Lord back by obedience to Him? We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. This morning, folks, please don't forget, because the knowledge of sin is in your hand if you have a copy of the Scriptures. The definition of sin doesn't change. The laws can't be written. The Supreme Court can't change the definition of sin. No one can. It's unchangeable. And no one can change the destruction sin causes. The price that's paid. And no one can change the deliverance for sin. Because it's Jesus Christ. And no one can change the fact that God promised to leave a door open for you, that the power of sin doesn't have to reign in your life. And no one can change the fact that God loves you. He loves everybody in this room. It doesn't matter about your background. It doesn't matter what you've done. He loves you. Will you love Him back? Lord Jesus, would you help us to learn the simple truths this morning of things that don't change and will never change? And Lord, when we step foot inside heaven, it'll always be the same. I am so thankful, dear Lord, for the anchor that's in my soul, for the anchor that's in my life. And Lord, I pray that you put that same anchor, your Son, Jesus Christ, in every soul in this room this morning. If there's not, would you help them to come this morning so we can help them trust you as Savior and leave this building right with you, Lord? And those that are struggling with some sin, would you give them the courage to find the door? Lord, give them the determination to say, I want out. Lord, because they know that you love them. Now speak to our hearts this morning. In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.